Welcome to City on a Hill, where we believe, belong, become, and build. We are a loving and caring community located in Crab Orchard, West Virginia, led by Pastor Damon Davis. Whether you're listening for the first time or you're a regular part of our family, we are so glad that you're here. At City on a Hill, we believe in reaching out to everyone with the love of Christ. Make sure to visit us online at cityonahillwv.com for more info on how to get connected. Now, let's dive right into the message from today and grow together in Christ.
Good stuff. The book of Revelation chapter 3, verse 15. I believe in this chapter, in these verses, these few verses, God is giving a very clear and a very urgent message. He said, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. You can be seated. I think that is very clear, and I think it is very urgent. I think these verses tonight demand our attention. Can you say amen? There has been a shift in our culture. There has been a shift in our world. It's the time that we live in right now, Doug, is nowhere close to the time that we grew up in. Things have changed. Society has changed. Culture has changed. And in that, I'm a little nervous that we have allowed that change to somehow affect the way we believe that God does things. I think the way I should say this is God hasn't changed, though everything else has. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. There is not a shadow of turning in him. He's the same God that he's always been. So society may change. Culture may change. Politics may change. Governments may change. God does not change ever. He's the same. So the message he gives to this church, this is a church that he is talking to. It's a church. I used to sit in churches and I would hear this over and over. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And that was always used as an altar call to the sinner. But when I read the Bible, I found out that that is not an altar call to the sinner. That is an altar call to the church. That's part of that church that he's reaching out to. God wants to do something. Do you agree? Let me tell you what God is going to use to get it done. The church. So if he's going to do anything, he's going to do it through us. If not us, then who? So he said, I stand at the door and I knock. If you open the door, if you let me come in, he said, I'll sup with you and then you will sup with me. There is a relationship there. It's a communion there. So he's standing at the church, knocking on our heart's door saying, I want to commune with you. I want to be in communication with you. Aaron, the truth is 15 minutes in the morning and 15 minutes in the evening shouldn't be that tough. It's 15 minutes. But when you set that aside, and I don't even want to know your grade. Everybody that signed that, I don't want to know if you got an A+, a B+. I can almost guarantee that nobody did everything on that contract right. If you did, yippee skippy. But even though you didn't get it all perfect, it pushed you closer to him. Do you agree with that? That's what sanctification does. The idea is to enter into communion, to get closer to him. Shane, you don't have to post this. You don't have to record it. This is for this church right here, right now, because I believe God wants to do something in our community through us. He said, I know your works. I know your works. He said, you're not cold. You're not hot. They wasn't heretics. They weren't mean. They weren't hateful. They were just lukewarm. And the scary thing about that church being lukewarm was this: God found it repulsive. It's not okay to be lukewarm. Let me say that again. It's not okay to be lukewarm in your communication with God. He finds it repulsive. He said, I will spew you out of my mouth. Amen. Now, if I made up my mind, and as I was praying this week, I said, God, I don't want to be lukewarm at all. I don't want to be in that place where I'm kind of okay and I'm kind of not. But we find ourselves in that position sometimes, do we not? We're like, well, I'm not really bad, but I'm not really on fire either. I'm not really sinning openly, and I'm not really like doing anything crazy or committing any abominations, but I'm not really drawing closer to him either. It's going to go one way or the other. Because if your heart is not engaged, you will begin to drift down the hill. I want to reiterate that. If we don't have our relationship in gear, if our heart is not engaged, the automatic thing that happens is you will regress. And he said, I find that repulsive. He said, I will spew you out of my mouth. So as I'm studying, I'm praying, I said, God, I don't want to be lukewarm. There was a couple things that came to my mind that if fire is intensity and if passion is in intensity, then we need some things in our life that we need to be more intense about than other things. And as I'm reading, I said, one thing that we need to become more intense about is the Word of God. We need to be passionate about the Word of God. Amen. Our culture, I pictured it like this. I won't call it a vision, but I'll call it a picture in my mind. Our culture is like a roller coaster. And as it is ascending, as it climbs, as it pushes to the top, there comes a point when it gets to the tipping point, and it can't go any farther except one direction, and that direction is down. And when we look around our world, we can see how close we are to that tipping point. It doesn't take a great prophet to figure it out, but we see that the whole earth is moaning, it's groaning, and it's waiting for something. The whole creation, Darren, is groaning because sin entered the world, and that creation was messed up by sin. It's waiting to be redeemed. We serve a God who is not quick to judge. Are you listening? But he is very quick to redeem. The goal of God is not to judge. His goal is to redeem. Can you say amen? The issue is this, though. There comes a point, and I want you to hear this. If you don't hear anything else I say tonight, I want you to hear this. Truth that is rejected will turn into judgment. Truth that is rejected will be transformed into judgment. Truth that is accepted will be transformed into transformation. There are people in this world right now, Johnny, that they're rejecting truth. They don't reject kindness, they reject truth. They don't reject love, they reject truth. They don't reject a smile, they don't reject any of that, but what they reject is truth. The gospel was not created to be debated over, it was created to be responded to. The difference between them and me is they reject it and I accept it. The difference between them is they suppress it and I accept it. That's the only difference, is what are you going to do with truth? Let me mess with you for a minute. Nowhere in this Bible can I find, and if you can find it, you show it to me. Nowhere in this Bible can I find where love sets you free. But what I do find is ye shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Now that word know is a close word. When you read that word, it's about closeness. It's about nearness. It's about relationship. Because when you know, you produce fruit. He said, they shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. It's the truth that liberates. My kindness does not liberate anybody, though I should be kind. My love does not liberate anybody, though I should love. None of that. But what does liberate is truth. Jesus said, the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. It was the love of God that allowed him to bring us truth. It was the catalyst. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. His son came bringing grace and truth. Next thing I want you to hear, this really close. Grace and mercy are a miracle. And I think sometimes when we don't view them as miracles, they become entitlements. Oh, God has forgave me so many times, he should do it again. It becomes an entitlement and not a miracle. And Sam, when mercy becomes an entitlement and not a miracle, judgment ain't far around the corner. Makes me nervous, Jennifer. When I look at people I love and can sit in a service with the Spirit moving and sit there stone cold and reject it, it's scary. It's scary when you witness truth and they don't want to hear the truth. Listen to me really closely. They didn't hate Jesus because he raised the dead. They didn't hate Jesus because he was kind. They didn't hate Jesus because he ate with publicans and sinners. They hated Jesus because he told them that their deeds were evil. Are you with me? Because here's what's happening. Compromise is coming covered in the cloak of compassion. Make sure you get that. Compromise has came into the church covered in the cloak of compassion. Because I look at you and I have compassion on you. And because I have compassion on you, I don't want to hurt you. Because I don't want to hurt you, I don't want to tell you the truth. I have stood beside people's beds that had terminally ill diseases, knowing that they weren't going to make it and the doctor wouldn't tell them. I've seen it happen. I've watched it take place. The doctor did not want to tell them that what they had was terminal. And so they were making plans and they thought that the problem is they needed to know. But because we don't... Oh, If the physician's not going to tell you, who's going to tell you? The great physician came to this earth and he looked at him and he said, it's terminal. It's terminal. You don't believe me? Watch him preach. Repent. The kingdom of heaven. Repent. It's at hand. Repent. Repent. It's terminal. You got to turn. You've got to turn. It was his message. And here, I want to be kind and leave out truth. They're in trouble. But oh, I want to be compassionate. What about compromise? When does this church say, this is what works, man? The only way we will do that is if we believe that this Bible is the authoritative thing in our life that we have to go by. Porky, the only way that I'm going to be able to tell people the truth in love is I've got to believe that this Bible, this word, this logos is the authoritative word of God. It has everything I need in my way to live, my way to get to heaven, my way to resurrect, my way to ascend, my way to eternity. I got to believe it. If I don't believe that, then I'm going to say, well, maybe there's another way. I was listening to these two guys talk, and I was eavesdropping, man. I was. The one young man was from Jordan. He was explaining to the other young man some things that he had heard. And I heard him say, he asked, who's your Lord and Savior? And the guy said, Jesus Christ. I thought it was witnessing going on at first. I wanted to be part of this. So I walked over and I said, hey, is he preaching to you? He said, nah, man, we're just talking. I won't tell you what he said. There is no way that what he was talking about and what he called it should have ever been connected. Are you listening? We live in a culture that has lost their respect for who Jesus is. We can't let that get in the church. We can't let that get in the church. Where Jesus becomes your co-pilot and your fill-in and your security blanket. He's not your security blanket. He's your Lord. He's your Savior. He's your King. And there's some things that we need to understand. I got to walk by His authority. John MacArthur doing an interview one time with Gavin Newsom. Anybody see that? Y'all know who Gavin is? Yeah, Gavin's talking about how he's a Catholic, how he believed this and he believed that. And John MacArthur, at least there's some things he said that was, but he nailed this one. He said, are you a believer? He said, I'm a believer. He said, then if you are a believer, you have to believe that God's word is the authority on this, not you. And Gavin said, well, I mean, I guess I have to say that, don't I? I guess I have to say that, don't I? If I say I'm a believer, I have to believe that. I guess I got to say that, don't I? You know what's scary about that? Is he's not alone. There's a lot of people walking around thinking they're going to get into heaven, and they don't even believe the word of God. We can't let that get in our spirit. Because let me tell you what's easy. Oh, man, I'm sorry. I'm sorry you came tonight. I'm so sorry you came tonight. Oh, we want to talk about Scripture, and we want to talk about the Bible, and we want to get together and sip coffee and talk about all the good verses. But when it gets controversial, we shut up. Where's your backbone, church? Is it the Word of God or not? If a person is living in sin, do you think me tiptoeing around it is going to help them so I don't hurt their feelings? No, if this is the authority, if this is the book that I go by, I have an obligation, Jason, to look at them in love and say, let me tell you what the Bible says. This is the book that I live by. This is the book that'll resurrect you. This is the book that'll save you. This is the book that'll set you free. This is the word. Let me tell you what the word says. It's the authority in my life. It is the authority in my life. I don't get to dance around it. the greatest thing that God ever revealed to me as a preacher is, Damon, you didn't write the book. Just read it, boy. Johnny, I like you. I don't like hurting people's feelings. I'm not a jerk. I'm a people person, I think. Not according to Robin Hensley. She just laughed, but she told me one day, she said, I don't even know why these little kids like you. Y'all remember the story? I was up here. I was stealing your candy for a kid. That's why they like me. You had your candy up here, and I'm opening it up, and she, the girl, she's like, open it up. And I said, I am. Robin went, I don't even know why they like you, because I got free candy. I don't want to hurt nobody. I want people to like me. You want people to like you? I don't want to go around hurting people's feelings. I remember, Chrissy, when I first started finding out stuff in Scripture and people didn't believe like me, I was kind of quiet about it. Things have changed. Things have really changed. You know why? Because the truth will liberate them. I can't find it. If you find it, let me know. Where they shall know love, and love will make them free. Because you know what I believe? I believe some people are going to be loved all the way into hell. I have met some grouchy people in my life that were more anointed than nice people. Can I get a witness? I've been around them. I know one guy, he was grouchy. He was grouchy. And that man could get up and go, hallelujah. And you go, oh, man, something to that. How is that? It's truth. It's truth. Not talking about truth, walking in truth. Because what's going to happen is things are getting ready to be shaken. You believe it? We're in spiritual chaos right now. Things are about to be revealed. Amen. You say, oh Lord, what? Is it on me? You're like Judas. Is it me, Lord? You know if it's you. What would happen right now if the Spirit just revealed all of your sins? Right now. No, I'm talking this week. Anybody comfortable with that? Tell you what I'd rather do. Tell you what I'd rather do. I'd rather him reveal it so I can repent of it so I don't miss his presence. Would you? Because his presence is so important. But let me tell you what God does. When he begins to shake, when he begins to shake the church, when he begins to shake the assembly, he wants to do something. He's not shaking you to shame you. He's shaking you to prepare you. He's shaking us to prepare us, to spare us. I would rather God reveal to me things in private so I can get them right than him to reveal them in the open. So when it's altar call time, and if you got something to deal with, you don't need to wait till the next service. You need to take care of it right now, because God is trying to prepare you. Amen. I got notes. It's time to ask ourselves, how close are we to the tipping point? How close are we to that capstone? How close? You say, I've been hearing this since I was a kid. Me too. I was young. I'm older now. You know what that means? It's closer now than it was when I first heard it. How close? I don't know. But regardless, when the shift plate takes place, I heard, I believe it was you said it, let's turn off the global news, Let's turn off the national news and let's look locally. Is that you that said that? Let's get even more local. Let's start looking inward. Let's start doing our own checkup right here, right now. Because we have got to understand this Bible is serious. There are verses in here that tell you how to live. If you want to live a godly, holy life connected to Him so that you have His presence walking with you, it tells you how to do that. Then why is it so hard to read it? Because the flesh is at war with the spirit. The spirit is willing. It is the flesh that is weak. We have to have a church that has a made up mind that said God's word is the authority and I cannot compromise. No matter how my flesh feels, no matter what my flesh desires, no matter what my flesh wants, I've got to be walking after the spirit and not after the flesh. He said, my word, it is spirit. Let me tell you what the spirit is. He said, when the spirit of love has come. That's not what he said. He said when the spirit of truth is come, he's going to testify of me. Truth. Truth. We need a church that loves truth. Truth. What's the Bible say? What's the Bible say? In the Old Testament, you know what they did? They went to the prophet and they said, is there a word from the Lord? Is there a word from the Lord? They didn't go say, hey, got any good sermonettes lately? Hey, you got any thoughts lately? Listen, I challenge you. I challenge you right now. Come back Sunday. I'll be friendly Sunday. As a matter of fact, if you got a sinner in your life, and I don't do this a lot, try to get him here Sunday. Try to get him here Sunday. I'm going to preach the love of God because we'll need it. But right now we need truth. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. It's not entitlement. It's a miracle. One more thing I'm going to give you, that if we're not going to be lukewarm, we definitely have to understand that the word of God is the authority. Can you give me a few more minutes on the word of God? Stop getting your doctrine off TikTok, Instagram, Facebook. Stop getting it off that stuff. You know how many people I have to untangle? I don't even know who these people are, but they say, hey, I just want to ask you. There's this lady that I've been following, and she said, And I'm not on that lady's side. I'm not listening to what she's saying. But then I get to spend time. It's a privilege. It is a privilege to untangle people. But if you would stay out of the briars. I wouldn't have to untangle you so much. No, but the Bible says is this. I don't know what Sister TikTok says, but I know what Jesus said. And what Sister TikTok is saying is totally different than what Jesus is saying. So let me tell you the reason why you can't listen to her and you've got to listen to him. Let me tell you, because he's the way, he's the truth, he's the lie. All she's wanting. Tracy told me yesterday. She's telling me about somebody that got a TikTok. No, a Facebook. Who was it? Somebody. She's like, hey, so-and-so got a Facebook. It was an older person. I was like, oh, no. Oh, no. I mean, you ever seen what they do on there? They got a picture of themselves looking at the screen that says, how to fix bread and butter pickles. It's not where that, it don't work like that. But some older people don't understand this social media generation. We've been trained to make our life look better than it really is. Even to the camera angle. Listen, people, let me help you. Don't ever take a picture with your phone down here. You got to lift it up. High, get the angle right. Because down here you're like, oh, man. It's the angle. You got to get the angle right to make it look better. And you know what the problem is? That's carried over. It's carried over into our spiritual walk where we won't even go to the altar when we're out of kilter with Jesus because we're worried about our image and what people think. We got to get rid of that. It ain't about how you look. It's about how you really are. You need to lay it down and say, I'm coming. I'm coming like this. Here I am, Jesus. I don't care what they think about me. I don't care what they say about me. I don't care how they talk about me. I'm going to get it right with you. I'm going to get it right with you. The Word of God has to be your authority. The next thing is your worship has to be more important to you than it is right now. What is it? The Boy Scouts? God, country, family, self? Is that it? God, country, family, self? I'm going to say God, family, country, self. You okay with that? I think I'll put my family before the country. Y'all okay with that? Eddie, you fought for this country. You okay with that? He ain't sure yet. We'll talk about it later. I'll see you this weekend, maybe. God has to be first. No matter who we put second, he has to be first. When we put our confidence in other things and those other things fracture, we become fractured. I watched it happen, Jason, in my own house. I watched it happen in my beautiful, wonderful wife. When that other guy won the election, there really is a thing called post-election depression. And I watched it happen instantly. Instantly. So much that it scarred her so bad that she doesn't even care anymore. She will not get, you know, but there are people that have all their confidence in what's going on in Washington. I'm telling you, it's fractured. You got to go deeper than that. You got to dig down past that because this ain't just surface cracks. Some of these cracks go pretty deep. So you got to get down. See, it's like that one man, he built his house on the sand. See, when the water comes through, that sand moves really easy. You don't build nothing on the beach, man. You got to get back and you got to find a rock. And you got to dig down a lot farther than that stuff that can be fractured. Are you with me? Well, I found a rock, and that rock is deep. And if you are found on that rock, there is not a fracture, there's not a crevice, there's not a movement that can move that rock. Can you say amen? My confidence has to be on him. Hurry up. Come on. I don't know how long you'll be up here, but come on. Worship. 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 Your worship has to be important. I wrote this down. I'm going to read it to you so I don't mess it up. Y'all ready? I wrote this, so be listening. As your pastor, I wrote this for you. I'm calling on us as members of this church to allocate time that is sacred. That went over like a lead balloon. Set aside some time that is for you and God and let nothing get in the way. Nothing. Worship is worthyship. God is worth more to me than what? I better be careful because I'll preach on us, me too. Is God worth more to me than my job? Is God worth more to me than my family? Is God worth more to me than my leisure time? Is God worth more to me than sports? Is God worth more to me? There has to be something. You set aside that time and you say, there is nothing that will come between me and this time with God. A good time is Sunday morning at 11:30. No, let me rewind. 10:30. Can I keep being mean? People that don't come to Sunday school make me nervous because I think they know everything and don't need to learn anything. I'm going to leave it at that. Yeah, I don't come to Sunday school. Why not? You know it all. I guess you can't learn anything. There you go. Darren, I got a tag in for you. He won't be here Sunday. I'll be teaching. So I'm taking names. I'm going to look around right now. See who's here. How hungry are you? I was at the family reunion. I was talking to Mike, Tracy's brother. He said, man, it's amazing how you can read and you can study and somebody can say something so simple and it just mess with your life. I said, man, that's amazing. He said Shane Hensley was teaching and he was talking about God. He said, the scripture said, resist the proud. Yeah, that's it. He said he was teaching on that. Never thought about it like this. He said, do you know what resisting is like? He said, think of somebody resisting arrest. That's resisting. God resists the proud like people resist arrest. He said, I never thought of it as like trying to get away from it, resisting it, pushing back. He said, man, it's amazing. You know what? Sometimes if you're just hungry and you're in the right spot, you can hear something that'll change your life forever. Just by showing up and being faithful and just sitting there. You say, you know what? Wow, that hit me. That hit me. If I preached on you, I love you. I do love you. I love them, Doug. I love them. Because God's getting us ready. I'm thankful, but I'm not satisfied. I struggle. Can I be real with you for just a minute? I struggle. I struggle when I stand in this pulpit and I look back there and I see what I've poured into my whole life rejected. I struggle. Darren, it hurts. It stings. It hurts. It bothers. You know what? Here's what I say. God, what do I need to do? God, what do I need to do? God, what do I need to do? Put me where I need to be, and all the nations will flow into it. So you know what I got to do? I got to get the puzzle box out. And if you weren't in Sunday school, you don't know what I'm talking about. Well, you'll just miss out. No, I'm gracious. And I don't think, I think grace is a miracle. I'm closing. I got my landing gear out. Okay, it's out. We're coming down. We're through the clouds. Sophie came over and said, Pop, let's work a puzzle. So I went in the kitchen and we're working a puzzle. And it's a 48-piece puzzle. I think it said 9 to 99 years on it. I never dreamed it'd take that long to finish it. We're working this puzzle, and I got all the pieces out, and she said, Pop, get the box. So we got the box, and we set it up on the table. And the reason we had to get the box is because we could see the image. And if your life is fractured and you're trying to put it together, you need to look at him so you'll know where the pieces go. Because the goal is to not look like you. The goal is to look like him. He's got to be the image. Come on, we're going to sing. We're going to pray. If you need to repent, now's your chance. If you need to pray, now's your chance. If you need us to pray, here's how we'll work this. If you need to pray at the altar, just come up here and kneel down and pray at the altar. And say, God, I want to make sure that your word is really